Amen. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Ben. Good morning, West Cypress Church family. I think the youth have already made their way out, which is good. Well, it's good to have them in here, but I want to make sure they get their class too. Man, I was going to make a joke about kids at the Thanksgiving Eve service, but I just better stay away from that now. Grace and peace to you this morning. It is good to see you all here, and good to see you as we get ready. We're about ready to run into our holiday season with so many things going on. This week, as Jackie talked about, is Thanksgiving. Can you believe that? Is anyone else excited for Thanksgiving? Woo! Man, I am. There's so much good times with family and friends. This would be great. But the food, I love the food, and I love overeating and then waking up from like a three-hour nap because I ate too much and saying, God, forgive me for my gluttony. That's the way that it works. But then the cool thing about Thanksgiving is you have the leftovers, right? Isn't that one of the best parts of Thanksgiving? And there's so many great things you can do with the leftovers. I was talking to one person this week in our church, and they said they love just taking the turkey and putting it on bread with mayo and maybe some lettuce and tomato and just having the leftover turkey sandwich, which was great. And I'm like, that does sound good. And then I remember we had a family in our church. They would take all their leftover turkey the next day and make fresh homemade turkey taquitos. It's like, oh, they were so good. So, and then I saw a video this week on Instagram that I saved because I was like, I need to make this recipe. And here's the thing, we can all make this recipe because we almost have all the ingredients that we want to do. So you take your main leftovers from Thanksgiving, your turkey, your mashed potatoes and stuffing, right? There they are. That's all it takes almost. That's all we need. And so you're going to take those things, and the next thing you need is a large ice cube tray, like one I have already. So excited. And you put some stuffing down, then you put some turkey in there, then you flatten it out with mashed potatoes on top, and then you freeze it for like 4 hours. You get it nice and cold. Then you pop those things out. And I know there are some plant-based eaters in here. Maybe you can get the tofu turkey or whatever you need to do. But then you take it out, and then you wrap it with bacon when it's frozen. And then you sprinkle like your favorite barbecue rub on that. And then you put it onto the smoker for like 4 hours to cook it. And then, here's the kicker, I have everything so far, right? I'm like, yeah. The one thing you glaze it with is cranberry barbecue sauce glaze. And I was just like, okay, where do I get that? Let's do this. And this is the end result. And I was just, there's just this big chunk of, I'm just like, I am so hungry right now, right? Is anyone else? Like, just bring on Thanksgiving and the leftovers. And let's do it. And maybe you don't do turkey at your Thanksgiving, and that's not American. So, I'm kidding. I celebrate, it's how you want to celebrate, it's good. I'm not here to talk about Thanksgiving, and I'm not here to talk about leftovers. All those things are good, but we've been talking about the Sabbath. And making a time in our lives, like, what is the Sabbath? Is it something that we should still celebrate today? And I think it is something, it is a practice that we should put into our lives. And we've been going through several different parts of what the Sabbath looks like and what we should do. Pastor Brandon talked about the need for stopping and resting on that day. We talked about the need to delight in God, to meditate on His Word and reflect on His goodness and His greatness. And so it's good to take all these things, and so we have all the ingredients, and so now it's time to put them together like this Thanksgiving ice cube meat thing to eat. It's time to put all these things together, and what I want to talk about for the final Sabbath practice, worship. You have all the ingredients, meditation and delight and stopping and resting. Worship puts all those things together for us, that we celebrate the Sabbath together. And I think worship is really the key ingredient in the life of a Christian and a life of faith. Every day, but especially if we're going to practice the Sabbath, it's a day to put distractions aside and focus on worshiping the Lord through delighting, through meditating, through resting, and all these things. I love what John Piper says when he talks about putting things into practice. He says, when we praise what we enjoy because the delight is incomplete until it is expressed in praise. If we were not allowed to speak of what we value and celebrate what we love and praise what we admire, our joy would not be full. If we couldn't express the things that we love and delight in, our joy wouldn't quite be complete. Like, it's all there, and it's good, but if we don't put it out there, it's kind of like having leftovers. Let me know if you've ever done this. We've never done this in my house, okay? Wink, wink. These are good. Save these for leftovers. And 10 days later, you find those in the back of the fridge moldy, and you throw them away because you didn't use them. And God intends us to take all these things that happen in life and all that happens and put those into the practice of worshiping him and delighting in him physically and celebrating him so that our joy in God would be full. So kind of our bottom line as we talk about worship today is this. Worship expressed helps us find rest, realizing in God we're blessed. Worship expressed helps us find rest, realizing in God we're blessed. And so we want to talk about this idea of worship in our lives and how do we make this a regular practice in our everyday life, but especially as we practice the Sabbath, what to do. We're going to read from Psalm 95. So if you wouldn't mind, if you could, if you can't, it's all right. But if you would stand with me as we get ready to read from God's Word. Let me say a prayer before we read, and then we'll read together, and then we'll sit down. Lord God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the joy that we have in you and so many delights along the way. God, you are a great and amazing God. You alone are worthy of our worship and our praise. You're the one that truly gives us things to delight in and satisfies us. And so God, help us to learn the value and the importance and the need to express that worship to you today. Speak to our hearts as we live lives of faith, following you, being obedient to you. Lord, even as we talk about the Sabbath, and if we practice the Sabbath, what are things that we do? May we make worship a priority in that time as we put all the other distractions aside to keep our eyes on you. God, now speak to us through your word, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And before you sit down, here's God's word for this morning. Psalm 95. I love this psalm. It's great. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving, and let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Amen. You can have a seat, church. What a great psalm, and what a great passage. And I know we've talked about these things and hinted over it before, but I love what the author is writing in this. He's recognizing how good and how great God is. He's talking about all his different attributes. Sing to the Lord, make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise, for he is a great God, a king above all the other gods. He formed the sea and he formed the dry lands. He's talking about the power and the immensity and the hugeness of God. There's a reason why we worship God, because he does these things. He's our Savior. He's the creator of all things. He's big and huge and beyond our full comprehension. But then I love what the author in this does, because he brings this inclusiveness to the psalm. It's not about, I will praise God because of this, or I will praise God because of this. But look at what he says. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. Let us come into his presence, and let us make a joyful noise again. It's about this inclusivity of the group and the community worshiping God together. Amen? There is a point where we worship God individually with our lives, but there's such a value and an importance of us worshiping God together, collectively. That's why Sunday mornings are so good and so important, because you can sing songs to the radio as you drive, and that's great, but there's something about being together with family. Listen, you can heat up a hungry man in the microwave for Thanksgiving, but it's nice to be with your family on Thanksgiving if you have that opportunity. There are times where you're alone out here and you don't have a family to be with. And it's like, well, it's Thanksgiving again, but there's something about being with family. And the author's like, oh man, let us worship the Lord together. Let us do this. For he is our God. We are the sheep of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And so I love this idea, just this promotion of church. We're made to worship him. We should be worshiping him. And so worship needs to be a priority in the lives of the Christian. It's not just going through day to day and just trying to get through. There's so many opportunities for us to worship God. And today I want to talk about, not exhaustively, God bless you, we're not going to, in 1 week, with a couple points, cover the whole exhaustiveness of what worship means and what it looks like in the life of a Christian, right? That'd be great, but I'm not that good. There's a lot of other preachers you can watch on the radio that are. But I want to talk about just three aspects of how do we worship. What does our worship look like in our lives? But especially if we're going to practice the Sabbath, what should worship look like on that day? And so the first thing I think is this. If we're going to worship God, let's fill that worship with gratitude. Fill our worship of God with gratitude. And we'll talk a story about this in a minute, but we need to understand the value and importance of being grateful to God, of being thankful to Him. How easy it is to just go through every day and just get from one end to the other and not stop and be thankful. And sometimes I get it, some people have more than us. Some of us have less, but we still have opportunities to worship Him and to give Him thanks. I was looking and reading and thinking about Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus is there, and it talks about the story of Him healing 10 lepers. And many of us know the story, but let's read it together. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. It says, "On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when He saw him, He said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" It's just an incredible story. And I want to pick apart what goes on here because it's interesting. Jesus didn't go to that place to find people to heal. Read the text. As He entered the village, He was met by 10 lepers. He was met by people that were in dire need of God's intervention in their life. They were looking for something, God bless you. Rather, they heard He was coming and what? They went out, they met Jesus. And they wanted Him to do something. They needed a physical healing. And nothing else was helping. My last shot is Jesus. Can you do something? Jesus, have mercy on us. There's this desperation they have. Not only did Jesus bring physical healing to them, but He brought a social healing. So if you don't know about leprosy, leprosy is one of those diseases that was very contagious. And so they cast people out of society. They isolated them out because they didn't want anyone else to get sick. And so you weren't allowed to be in the public and you weren't allowed to be around others. And can you imagine being cast out of society, being pushed aside, maybe even from family and friends, your spouse or your kids? So not only did they have this physical ailment, they were shunned from society and maybe even the ones that they love. And leprosy, oftentimes it wouldn't kill you, but in most cases it wouldn't go away for the rest of your life. So socially, for the rest of your life, you were cast out. You were isolated. And you were shunned. Another painful part of leprosy, an aspect of leprosy, is the common thought of the day was, you developed leprosy in your life because of sin in your life. That's the only reason you got leprosy. So now not only are you shunned by the public, you're shamed by the public. So understand that the dire need of these 10, like, Jesus, have mercy on us. I don't just want physical healing. I want to be back among people again. And so it's no wonder that they sought Jesus out. And yet, sadly, only one returns to give Jesus thanks. And I get it. I understand why. I mean, my mind, if I started walking and saw that the leprosy magically disappeared, miraculously disappeared, I'd be going, oh my gosh. My mind would be running about all the things that I can do that I haven't been able to do for years, possibly. My heart would probably not even be able to contain itself in its chest with every step I took, getting closer and closer to my family, thinking, I can sit down to dinner with them. I can hold my kids and I can hug them. I can do all these things that have been taken away from me. I understand why they didn't come back to give thanks. But that doesn't escape the fact that our lives should be filled with worshiping God by giving Him thanks. And one of those got it. Will we be the one? If we're going to worship God, we should make it a priority to be grateful and thankful to Him for the big things and for the little things. everything that we have. David writes in Psalm 28, he says, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield, and in him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him." What has God done for you? What's happened in your life that our hearts should sing thanks to him and be grateful to him? I read a story this week of a man. His name was Anthony Hinton, and he was put in prison for a crime he didn't commit. He was on death row for 30 years. And even when he was arrested, at the time he was working a job where he was locked into a facility where the crime happened somewhere else. So there's no way for him to do this. But he got convicted and he got put in prison. And while he was there, he decided that he wasn't going to let that break him. And so he became a friend and he became a counselor to many of the other prisoners and to some of the other guards. And in his time in prison for 30 years, he was in a 5x7 cell. He got to go outside for 1 hour every day. For 30 years, that's his life. And so he befriends and he becomes a counselor to all the other people. And they start meeting with his lawyer and telling his lawyer, like, "You have got to get this guy out of here. He did not commit the crime." After 30 years, the Supreme Court makes a unanimous ruling that he should be released. And he was set free from prison. He was able to walk out. And he's in an interview, he says this, "One does not know the value of freedom until it is taken away. People run out of the rain. I run into the rain. I am so grateful for every drop just to feel it on my face." And I thought, man, we shouldn't have to have things taken away from us to be grateful for it. Man, you guys are running away from the rain, and I'm just like, oh, I haven't felt this for 30 years. This is amazing. If that's Jesus, you better not answer. I'm kidding. If it's not Jesus. Do we appreciate God? Do we see all the things that he's doing for us, and are we thankful for him? Every day, God is doing amazing and wonderful things in our life. Amen? Every day, we have to open up our eyes to see that. And I know for some, life is difficult right now. Whether it is the loss of a loved one, fighting an ongoing disease, there's financial burdens, there's relational burdens that happen. Sometimes life is not full of joys and celebrations. Sometimes life is full of difficulties and burdens, and I don't know how I'm going to make it through this day. And I don't know how I'm going to get there. Yet even in those times, I challenge you that there are things for us to be thankful for. God, I thank you that even in this difficult time, I am not alone. Lord, I thank you that even in this difficult time when I feel alone, there are a couple people I can call on. There's always something we can hold on to. John Ortberg writes this about worship and gratitude. He says, "I need to worship because without it, I can forget that I have a big God beside me and I live in fear. I need to worship because without it, I can forget his calling and begin to live in a spirit of self-preoccupation. I need to worship because without it, I lose a sense of wonder and gratitude and plod through life with blinders on. I need worship because my natural tendency is towards self-reliance and stubborn independence." Like, ding, 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 ding. That might not describe you, but it describes me and probably a bunch of us in here. I need worship because without it, I lose sight of the gratitude. I lose sight of the things, and I just become focused on, well, this is what I need to do to get through the next day. I've earned these things. I've done this. God does so much in our lives that there's so many things to be thankful for and to be grateful for. And so how do we make gratitude an intentional part of our lives? And if we're going to practice the Sabbath, how do we make gratitude an intentional part of our Sabbath and worshiping in gratitude? A couple weeks ago, I told you, get a little notebook or take your phone out and write notes about what you read in the Bible. And at the end of the night, write about what God did that day. That was just like, God, I can't believe you did this. Write down things that you're just thankful for. Maybe it's a warm cup of coffee in the morning. Maybe it's coffee with a friend. Or maybe it's just on those cold days when you have to go outside and you just feel the warmth just hit your body and you're just like, oh, it feels so good. God, thank you for the warm sun on a cold day. Just, there's so many big things, there's so many little things that we can be thankful for. We can be intentional with our thankfulness in our conversations. Hey, how are you? Oh, let me tell you two things that I'm thankful for right now. And just tell people what you're thankful for. You'd be amazed how much you being grateful makes other people grateful. And then you're going to meet people that just can't be grateful. So tell them two things that they should be grateful for, just on the spot. You can come up with stuff. But just push gratefulness out. Let's make every day a day of worship by being grateful to God. Especially as we come to the Sabbath, it's a time to put aside all the burdens and distractions, worry about the deadlines later, and just to sit and be like, man, God, you amaze me. I can't believe you did this week. Thank you for that. God, thank you for this opportunity. I know it was stressful getting up there, but what you did in that, Lord, thank you for that. Let's make worship intentional, and let's make it a priority, and let's do it with gratitude. And it kind of leads to our second point about worship, that worship, we need to make it planned in our lives. We need to make worship a priority. It's great. I told you about this recipe of what you can do with this ice cube tray and all the turkey leftovers. And you're like, that sounds good, but you have to do it. You have to, and that's part of our lives. We have so many things, and we're running headlong into holidays where there's so many demands coming up, and so many, like, we're trying to figure out, when can we do a staff another Christmas party? Like, well, these people are going to have work parties, and there's family parties, and then there's, like, kids' Christmas events, and then there's this, and I got to do shopping, and when can we ever just get together? And there's so many things going on right now. When do we stop and worship? When do we stop and give God praise? And that's the heart of the matter about worship, is we've got to prioritize it, and we've got to plan it, because there's so many distractions and things in life pulling us away from that, that we've got to do it. The story of the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. Israel is stuck in slavery to Egypt. And just when things can't get any worse, they do. And as they're slowly just being driven into the ground, basically, and wondering what's going to happen, God shows up. And he brings rescue, and he brings deliverance, and he sets them free. And Moses tells them, Israel, this is what's going to happen. God's going to come through this night. You need to prepare this meal, and this is how you need to prepare it. And these are all the things that you need to do. And this is the part you're going to do, and this is the part God is going to do. And this is how it's going to work. You've got to do it. And part of it was they had to cook a lamb, and they had to put the blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death, basically, whatever, however God did it, when he came by, if he saw that blood on your doorpost, passed over. What happened to the Israelites that night that didn't put it into action? Same thing that happened to the Hebrews, the Egyptians probably. But in the middle of all that, Moses gives them the directions, and then he says this in Exodus chapter 12. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. This isn't a one-time deal, Israel. You're going to do this the rest of your lives. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt, and when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. There is a plan. And Moses said, these are the things that we've got to do. And it's not just for this night. Every year, Israel, you've got to make sure you do this. For generations to come, forever and ever, you've got to keep doing this. Priorities need to be planned. Otherwise, something is going to take their place. Especially when we talk about worship. A few weeks ago, I told you how I took a blood test and my numbers were off the charts, and that's not a good off the charts. And I had a meeting with my doctor, and they're like, yeah, these aren't good. If you keep going in this direction or just stay where you're at, a stroke or a heart attack is right around the corner. And I was like, okay. And even when I shared some of my family who are in the medical field, they're looking at this and looking at me like, why aren't you dead yet? I'm like, I don't know, but I'm happy I've lost weight. It's all good, right? And so basically the doctor said, you've got to make dietary changes in your life. You cannot keep going down the path that you're going down. And so I had a decision to make. Am I going to make those changes or not? Am I going to get rid of the things that I need to get rid of? Am I going to find substitutes? And I had to make plans and put it into practice. If I'm going to go out to eat somewhere, what's on the menu that I can get? And will they allow me to alter it to fit my dietary needs now? Because I have to eat different than how I ate before, because how I was eating before was going to lead me to death. But if I'm going to prioritize things and make a plan for it and put it into action, I've got to make sure I can do this here. It stinks having salad instead of hash browns for breakfast. But it's still tasty, you know, it's still good food. I'm thankful for salad. we all know these things. We know that we should worship God. But the next step is, are you going to do it? There's plenty of times where it's saying, I know I need to worship God, I know I need to give thanks, but I'll get to that later. I'll get to that tomorrow. The problem is later and tomorrow never come because so many demands and things come in and say, you've got to take care of this now. You've got to do this now. We've got to do this. And so we cannot, friends, we cannot put the worship of God off until later or tomorrow. Worship of God needs to be a priority. And why? Let's ask the simple question, why should worship be a priority? I'm glad you asked. I asked that question. First answer I would give you is this, the gospel. The gospel is like the Passover story. We are like Israel. We are enslaved. We are in bondage. We are shackled to the sin in our life that is just driving us further and further to despair and death. And there's nothing you or I can do to escape that situation. But God shows up and breaks the chains off in a dramatic way like he did with Israel and passing over and the firstborn dying. God comes in and breaks the chains and rescues us in a dramatic fashion through his son Jesus. His death on the cross and his resurrection sets us free to live lives of worship to God forever. Amen. He empowers us to step away from the sin and not get entangled in it anymore. He puts his spirit in our life to help us remember what he says and to walk in the right way. The gospel is the reason why we should worship. Who God is the reason why we should worship. Just what Psalm 95 said, how great is this God? He created the seas. He created the land masses. He is our Savior. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. If we're going to do that, we have to plan on it. But then there's benefits to worshiping God. Worshiping God increases our peace and joy. We're reminded of his presence. We're reminded that he's there with us. Worshiping God can help us displace the fear and the worry and anxiety that plagues our lives with all the other things that are going on. Worshiping God can renew our strength. We remember, God, I remember when I went through this, you were there with me and you provided this. And so I know when I'm facing this, I'm strengthened because I know you're here now. And whatever I'm facing, you can provide me a way out here too, and you're with me. And I'm strengthened. My faith is strengthened in that. Worshiping God declares his value and his worth. Psalm 95, come let us worship and bow down. Let us sing. Let us make a joyful noise to the Lord and worship him. We declare his glory to one another. We declare his glory to the world around us. We want the world to know this God that we worship is amazing. And he's not just our God. He's inviting you to come in as well and be a part of this. Worship needs to be a priority. Timothy Keller says, God directs his people not simply to worship, but to sing his praises before the nations. We are called not simply to communicate the gospel to non-believers. We must also intentionally celebrate the gospel before them. Amen? Man, what a great image. Are we celebrating the gospel before the nations? Are we celebrating God? Are we praising his name? Are we giving him thanks? Are we letting the world see and know how amazing this God is? Again, David in Psalm 9, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. You kind of get the idea when you start reading through David's life that the guy couldn't stop worshiping. And that's what God is looking for. Jesus teaches, God is looking for worshipers. He's seeking worshipers that will worship him in spirit and truth. Will we be those people? If we're going to be those people, we have to plan worship. Interrupt your schedule intentionally to stop and worship God. Even this week, I was working on the sermon, and I got up to go use the restroom, and I started coming back. And I had a certain time I had to leave, so I set a timer. I'm like, oh, this needs to get clean. I need to do this. I need to put that away real quick. And I'm starting doing that. I'm like, Brian, go sit back down and work on the sermon. The timer's going to go off, and when the timer goes off, then you can do those things. But I had to remember that. Like, no, I set a timer on purpose. It's okay to get distracted by going to the bathroom, everybody. That's fine. But after that, let me get back to what I'm supposed to do. I made this time for that. When this time is done, take care of those things. Intentionally make plans to worship God. And if we're going to practice the Sabbath, make plans to put worship into your schedule of practicing the Sabbath. Last thing I want you to see is this, that worship is serving. And again, there's so many different roads and so many different topics that we can go down today, but I want to wrap it up with this thought of worship is serving. And we'll tie it all together just with all our passages too. But Romans chapter 12 The Apostle Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I know we've gone over this passage before a lot, but I want you to see the critical things that Paul writes in here. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That sounds physical, doesn't it? It's not just like, no, like it's us saying, God, here I am. Here is all of me. Use me however you want, whenever you want, so that I can worship you. Interrupt my schedule, except for Wednesday mornings, because I kind of do this special thing, and I'm like, but any other time, God, no. Worship is saying, God, here I am. Use me however, whenever, why ever, because I'm here to worship you. And I'm going to worship you through service. Second thing Paul says is, you know, present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And there are a lot of words for worship in the Bible. One of the main ones in the New Testament is this word proskuneo. Kuneo means to bow the knee or to get on a knee, and pros means to or toward. It's a very humbling thing when you get on a knee before someone because you're saying, you're greater than I am, you're worthy of respect and honor. I'm bowing in humility before you because you're better than me. That's worship. Proskuneo. Interestingly, that's not the word that Paul uses here. It's a good word, but why didn't he use that word? Because Paul uses a different word, and the word is latreia, and it's defined as service or religious service. Offer yourselves to God. This is your spiritual act of worship through serving him or serving others. We worship God by serving. That's what that word means. It doesn't just mean like singing is great. The band is doing a great job and I love what we're doing. And that's part of worship. But part of worship is serving God. And that's the word that Paul uses. And so if we take this thought to the greatest lengths, all that we do can be worship to God. Even our jobs. Our jobs can be worship to God. Rick Warren says this, work becomes worship when you dedicate it to God and perform it with an awareness of his presence. And Richard Foster, cause every task of your day to be a sacred ministry to the Lord. However mundane your duties, for you they are a sacrament. For your job can be worship when you say, God, I thank you for this job. Gratitude. You've given it to me. I'm going to give my best today for your glory. I'm going to work my hardest to worship you. I'm going to help others outside of even my job because you've called me to serve and that's the way that I can worship you. Your job can be worship. Amen? Sometimes we don't view it that way. It's like, well, no, this is my job and then I'll have time for worship later. No, your job can be worship too when we dedicate it to the Lord. When you go back to the story of Moses telling the Israelites about keeping the Passover, he tells them, you shall keep this service. When the Greeks translated the Hebrew into the Greek language, guess what word they used there? Latreia. You shall keep this act of worship through serving. Serve him. After Moses passed away, Joshua was the one who led Israel into the promised land and the one that God used to conquer all the enemies. And as they're coming to the end of all that and dwelling in the land, Joshua gives one of the most famous speeches in the Bible in Joshua chapter 24. If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Guess what word he uses there? Latreia, choose today who you're going to worship by serving them. It's your choice. Choose today who you're going to worship someone by serving them. Which one is it going to be? As for me and my house, we're going to worship God by serving him. Latreia, service. My challenge and encouragement for you, church, as we wrap up this teaching on the Sabbath and throughout the whole series, making an undistracted time to rest in God, to delight in God, to celebrate God, to remember God, to meditate on God's words, but to worship him in all ways, including gratitude and service. If you're going to, every day we should put that in our schedules, but as I talk about the Sabbath, and even when we run headlong into the holidays now, it's more important than ever for us to say, I need to set this time aside to worship the Lord. And so as you pick a time, set times in your alarm for 20 or 30 minutes to worship. Because if you don't, it's going to get crowded and something else is going to creep in. No, God, I'm going to do this. And especially when it comes to service, and we talk about this idea, let us come together, let us sing joyfully, this community idea. Maybe you and your family, or you and your church family, or you and some friends, go out and serve others for the Sabbath. Maybe you've got a neighbor that needs help grocery shopping, or needs help painting, or needs yard work done, or housework done. Serve them on the Sabbath. Pastor, I thought I'm supposed to rest. God will give you rest through serving people. Don't worry about it. You rest from your daily work. You serve God even on the Sabbath. Maybe it's together as a family, or finding a group of people from the church family, maybe your small group. Hey, let's go serve this nonprofit this Saturday. Let's give up a couple hours and help serve people in need. Let's serve God, and let's serve Him with gratitude. There's all these different ways, but church, if we're going to worship God and we're going to serve God, you've got to intentionally put it on your calendar and don't let anything get in the way of it. He alone is worthy of our worship and our praise. Amen? He alone is worthy of thanksgiving. And may we be the people that worship God with thanksgiving and intentionally every day, but especially as we practice the Sabbath. I want to invite the band to come on up as we wrap this up and we move into a time of communion. Again, as we talk about why do we worship God, this time, the bread and the juice remind us that while we were dead in our sins, while we were enslaved to our sins, while we were in bondage to them, God stepped in and broke the chains and set us free. His death on the cross pays the price of our sins. His raising from the dead shows His power to break the bondage and the shackles on us. And He invites us to come and live for Him and with Him. That's what communion is all about. And as we approach the table, let's approach it with thanksgiving to Him. We have a table up front here and two tables on the side. We'll also have some elders to just be around to pray with you after service, whatever you need prayer for. And we'll close this time singing to the Lord. But let's pray together and then we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper. God, I thank You. You are the great and awesome God. You are the one who invites us into Your presence. And God, our response should be, let us sing joyfully. Let us make a joyful noise. Let us be grateful to You. Let us worship You. And God, help us every day to see the incredible value of just who You are to worship You. Help us to see all the ways You're interacting and intervening in our life that we intentionally stop and say, man, God, thank You. I don't know how I would have made it through without You stepping in. Help us to be a people of gratitude. Help us to be a people intentional on declaring Your praises to one another and to the world around us. Lord, we praise You and we thank You and we say this in Jesus' name. Amen.